This is a Federal News Network podcast.
Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars sponsored by WEPA. Join NITP for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Good morning and welcome to the November 16th, 2020 For Your Benefit radio show. Today really is For Your Benefit. And joining us today is co-host Tammy Flanagan. She's the Senior Benefit Director at NITP. GovExec columnist, and I always say, knower of all things federal. Good morning, Tammy.
Good morning, Bob. Good to be here in sunny Florida today.
Yeah, it's not so bad here in, it's sunny, but maybe it's not real warm. But we have a guest author today, Walt Francis, and he's going to talk about the FEHB open season. Walt is the author and knower of all things regarding Checkbook's Guide to Healthcare Plans. Good morning, Walt.
Good morning. How are you, Bob?
Well, it's real good. It's been about a year, hasn't it?
I believe it is a year-to-year thing for open season.
Yeah. And the duo here, I'm just going to take notes and occasionally ask some questions. So if we look at what we're going to talk about with regards to the checkbook guide, we could probably go on for hours, but is there anything different in it as to somebody's ability to access things easier? Not that it was hard before. And then we'll dig into the specifics. So is there an overall change to it?
Tammy, you should just, I don't know who's supposed to be jumping in, but let's, Tammy knows as much as I do, if not more, about the FEHB.
So wow.
Don't call me the expert.
Well, no,
the basic system is unchanged this year. You know, the exact day that open season starts and ends changes every year. There's always a couple new plans and a couple of plans dropping out. You know, it's the usual this, that, and the other. Premiums are up 5%, 4.9% on average, the enrollee share, but the average hides more than it reveals, because some plans have decreases in their premiums and others have big increases. So premium changes are always enough to make sure, to make it vital that you check to be sure you're in a reasonably good buy plan. But that's not even the most important thing to check, okay? And what you need to do most importantly is not the system for getting in touch and finding out what plans are available, et cetera. But let me just say, so everybody understands, there are two large umbrella websites, Checkbooks and OPMs, that provide you huge amounts of information on every plan in the system, okay? And they are two places to go if you're searching for comparative information. But in addition, the plan websites provide a great deal of information. The plan you're in and maybe one or two or three others you might want to check out. They love to give you, they don't compare themselves directly to other plans. They're not supposed to under OPM rules, but they do compare themselves to their own plans. And all the big players, Blue Cross, GEHA, Aetna, United, have multiple plans. So, you know, it's easy to find information. The big problem most people have is there's too much information. You got to check your physical health and think about your family's health. And we'll get into all that. But no, the system is basically unchanged and a great way to find the best health insurance for your needs.
Okay, a great place to go to do that would be a website called guidetohealthcareplans.org. Did I do that right?
No, not quite. It's all guide to health plans, all one word, .org.
Okay. Well, thank you. All righty. And how many years of, I think Tammy and I were talking, we've been doing this 30 years, but Walt, how long have you been writing this?
I think 42 years. Wait, I'm going to look at the cover. It doesn't tell me, but anyway, it's over 40 years. So with the paper version, going back that far on computer, on the internet, I think we go back now about 20 years.
Wow.
little more.
Okay.
I bet that was a big leap, Walt, whenever you went from the paper version to creating that online version. But that tool that you have online to me is invaluable because I use it all the time when I work with clients and we narrow down the choices that they have for health plans. And I always put their plan in the mix. Like I'll pick four plans. Theirs is one. And then I'll pick three other plans that I think would be a good fit for that client and just show them line by line all the differences between those plans. So I really love that online version. To me, that's the ticket.
Well, thank you very much. We work hard to make it work, to make it productive for any user.
Yeah, we had a guest on last week from Geeha. He's on each year as well as others. And he talked about the guide. So you got somebody in the ranks as a member of your fan club. So
they've got some good plans and some plans. The other thing is there aren't a lot of new plans this year, but over the last 2 or 3 years, cumulatively, there are quite a few new plans, including two new Geeha plans that are both very good buys.
Yeah, he talked about those. But what would drive somebody to go to your website to learn more? Do they look at a specific issue that they might have with family health? Is there a general a guide for somebody that says, listen, I'm able to do this once a year, but I just don't know how to get to first base?
That's exactly what our website's designed to do.
I thought so.
You enter a little bit of basic information, like what's your age? How many people are in your family? Where do you live? Zip code. Which employment system, which agency do you work for? Or employment system or retirement system are you in? If you're retired, do you have Medicare Part A or Parts A and B? And if you're in the D.C. area, we ask you, do you have any doctors you want to be sure are in your plan next year? And you answer those, takes about 1 minute to answer all those questions. You click the mouse button, and we now tell you what is the least expensive plan for you to buy, the second least, the third least. We arrange them all in order, taking into account premium cost, your for sure expense, and likely out-of-pocket cost, depending on whether you have a good year, a bad year, or an average year. We give you all three, and the most you could have to pay for the plan. So that just the cost alone is our major starting point. But we provide, you know, and you click easily to different topics, like more information on Medicare coordination or more information on what the cost sharing is in this plan. And that may, now we're getting into some of the nitty gritty about if you're going to have surgery next year or a hospital stay, you may want to compare plans on that basis. And we have this side-by-side plan comparison feature that Tammy mentioned. So you sort of do a little bit of poking around and pick two or three or four plans you might want to consider. We'll show them side-by-side. But let me say, the most important thing to look at is something that isn't unique to our website. I don't want to, you know, and by the way, the OPM website does most of what we do. It just doesn't estimate likely costs to you in different plans. But the thing you really ought to look at is the brochure for the plan you're in. And you can download it from our website, from the OPM website, or from the plan website. And get that PDF file online on your computer screen and use that to check how's the plan changing this year and any other questions you have. If you're going to have a baby next year, check how the plan handles, having a baby. Or if you're going to have a knee replacement, check that. There's anything you care about, you can quickly look up in the PDF file and read a plain English description of how the plan handles it.
If you were to look at the access, the people that access your site, do you find that they tend to do it late in the open season? And probably some do it early. But when do you see the monitor pop?
We get a peak near the end. We also get a peak near the beginning. And it's a problem because if people check on the start their homework on the last day, that could be a little tight. I mean, you know, you for example, even though we will tell you if you're in the DC area whether your doctors are in the plan today, we don't know where they're going to be January 1st. So it behooves you to call for the physician office to check. Well, you don't really want to try to do that at 11 p.m. on the last day of open season.
Yeah, yeah.
You won't get a hold of anybody.
So they can ask questions. So they ought to be asking questions now, a few weeks from now, but not towards the end.
Yeah, though even at the last minute, you could certainly check to see if your plan has done something horrible in its coverage that will matter to you. I mean, you can change plans up to and including 11:59 p.m., the last day of open season.
Okay, if we were to look at the audience that's listening or listening after we do it live, if you were to start maybe at the earliest date, you know, an individual that's just joined federal service within, say, 5-8 years, and let's say that they're unmarried at the time and they're young, should they be concerned about picking the proper plan?
Absolutely.
I thought you'd say
and,
that.
You know, they have sort of two issues. One is if they're new in town, they probably don't have an established set of doctor networks. You know, they don't have a family doctor yet or a personal care physician yet. So they might want to join a plan that pre-selects doctors for them, such as an HMO. In the D.C. metro area, people join in droves, young people, the Kaiser plans, because they have clinics all over the metro area. You know that you always have instant access to a physician or paraprofessional who has access to your files because you're in the Kaiser network and on their computer system. But the other thing I think young people in particular should do, though it applies to everyone at every age, think about joining a high deductible plan with a health savings account and getting, if you're healthy and don't have any substantial medical bills year to year that you expect, then you can build up through a health savings account tens of thousands of dollars over in just a few years that will last you your whole life. And it's money, I like to call it an IRA on steroids. It goes in tax-free, the investments grow tax-free, and when you use it for healthcare, it comes out tax-free. So that's a great starting investment to augment your thrift plan. And every new hire and young hire should consider it.
So yeah, I'd like to add to that one too, if I could, because I think you guys know I'm a big fan of the high deductible health plans with the HSA, and we've been in one for 7 years, me and my husband, and we do fully fund that HSA every single year, because next year you can do a maximum of $7,200 for self plus one or self and family. That you contribute, your plan contributes, they call it a premium pass-through, so they give you some of your premium in your HSA account. And because we're 55 or older, we put an extra $1,000 in. So like you said, Walt, you can save up literally tens of thousands of dollars in this FDIC-insured bank account, and it stays with you the rest of your life, and you can use it even to pay for Medicare Part B and long-term care premiums. So if you're going to fully fund or at least partially fund that HSA, I think that's a great choice for many people besides just the new hires. You know, anyone who's looking for a tax shelter, great plan.
Tax shelter. All righty. Andrew says, I think it's time for you all to take a break, but before we take the break, What you all were just talking about, almost sounds like an IRA that would grow in value and later. But let's pick that back up after we come back from the break.
Federal Open Season isn't only about health insurance. Get life insurance for less with WEPA. WEPA has been insuring the future of federal employees for more than 75 years. WEPA can be used as a supplement or replacement for your existing policy and can cost less than Fakely. In fact, last year, members who switched saved $375 on average. While you're evaluating your benefits this open season, compare the costs of WEPA and Fakely. See how much you could save on your life insurance by visiting waepa.org. Today.
Well, welcome back to For Your Benefit. We're talking about healthcare plans, and we ought to say thank you, too, for WEPA. They sponsored this show. So if it weren't for them, I don't know that we would be here, but maybe we would, right, Tammy?
Yeah, we were here before them, but we certainly love having them as a sponsor.
Yeah. So we had stopped at the break. Let's put put back on the running shoes and continue the discussion. Where do we stop?
We were talking about the triple tax benefit of an HSA, and I know that got your ears perked up, Bob.
How did you know that? Well, I mean, you know, I'd listen to these shows, of course, and I say, I should have gone into the federal government a long time ago. Well, I didn't. So we have you have these benefits that are available to you, the you know, the best of the best plans. That you have tax incentives to do this. It's just it's a nice thing, but I'm not so sure everybody takes maybe you all have a better idea of the percentage of people that are aware of this and take the opportunities within the healthcare. I don't know. Do you find when you teach the courses, Tammy, that people sometimes go, I can do that?
I think people are still on a learning curve when it comes to some of the newer options, like the consumer-driven options that Walt talks about extensively in his checkbook guide, because it does help people understand these benefits of either having a health fund or having a health savings account. So I do think there's still a learning curve from the traditional fee-for-service plans and the HMOs versus some of these newer features where we have now value plans or basic plans for younger, healthier folks. And then we have, you know, the more high option plans and Medicare compatible plans as we go through life. So I do think people are still anxious to learn more and need to take the time to learn a little bit more so they can make a good choice. And like we were saying, well, the, you know, even though there's an average increase of 4 or 5%, I think you can save a lot of money if you really study what your options are.
In fact, that reminds me something I always forget to mention. One of the features of our website, it is a subscription to get all the detailed plan comparisons, but we give free advice. It's actually a book length. How does the FEHB work? What do you need to think about? What are the kinds of plan options? It's you know, et cetera, et cetera. You can read it free. It's all as advice and information. I don't want to say it reads like a thrilling novel, but we try to say everything in non-technical language and keep it in simple snippets that you can understand easily. So, hey, go on our website and read all about the FEHB and how health insurance works. You yourself can become an expert in half an hour.
Well, and also when you go to, I was just going to add, when you go to sign on to Checkbook Guide, there's also a list of organizations that provide free access to the online version too. Isn't that right? Well,
yeah, a large number of federal agencies provide free access to all their employees, sign up for everybody. And yeah, you should for sure check to see if you already have free access because a very large fraction of federal employees do. So I want to come back on the point that this is a financial investment decision. It's true you make a decision year by year, and open season is huge in that. It wouldn't do you any good to choose among plans if you didn't get a chance to switch. Okay. And they are not allowed to vet you for pre-existing conditions or anything like that. They have to, if you check plan X come January 1st or the first pay period in January, whichever category you're in, you're going to be in that plan early next year. So no matter, you can be in the hospital on the day you transfer plans. That's okay. You're covered. Maybe whether you're in the old plan or the new plan is a nuance, but you will be covered. You should think, I think, in longer term ways, what options make sense for you. There's many points in the program. For example, you need to start being covered in a FEHB health plan 5 years before you retire, continuously for those 5 years, or when you retire, you will lose all coverage. And if you've been smirking at your coworkers about how your wife has a better health plan than her private employer, well, guess which health plan is going to be there for the rest of your life? Answer, federal employees health benefits, not your wife's employer.
Let me ask both of you a question. If an individual had a malady, if you will, an illness, and they were not in a plan that would cover that, when open season comes along and this illness was continuing, can they switch plans and then have reimbursement for the cost at the time they switch?
Walt was just saying there's no pre-existing condition clause in any of the federal health plans. And even before the Affordable Care Act, that was true of FEHB plans. So you didn't have to worry about switching plans and not being covered for that particular illness.
Actually, somebody mentioned that years ago, one of the guests.
It's really an important feature of open season that you can use to your positive benefit. Let's say you plan to have a baby next year and you've already picked the gynecologist and she is in plan A but not plan B in their network. Well, then you could switch from plan B to plan A in open season and then just add to that, some plans cover maternity benefits at zero cost to you. The whole thing, the whole $5,000 set of, or more, set of costs, you know, hospital and doctor and delivery and all the rest. Well, be sure you're in one of those plans as well as one of the plans in which your doctor's in the network. So you can use open season to choose doctors. You can use open season to pick the best deal on the health costs you expect to have next year. And you can also use open season to pick the best plan for covering costs you don't know if you're going to have or not next year, because there's catastrophic coverage difference in all the plans, and you can pick one that's very good protection against the worst possibilities.
So somebody single and youngish, new to the federal government, are there plans that maybe stand out in your, maybe I shouldn't ask that because then if you can't mention the plan name, but we're not trying to say anything bad.
Oh, yes, I can.
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Then, OPM can't tell you which plan to join, but I can.
Okay.
And do.
All righty. So so the guide would help somebody regardless of their age, new federal employee, mid-career, and late, and maybe even retired.
Yeah, there are some plans that are good in almost all those situations. It's hard to beat the Kaiser plans. There are three versions in the D.C. area, but they're all very similar, and a lot of them on the West Coast and a few places in between. Hard to beat them for a good deal at a low price, so at any age. And I know Kaiser lifers who were 80 and 85 years old who have been in Kaiser for the last 30 or 40 or 50 years and swear by it. Okay, that's sort of one example. But we had already mentioned the high deductible plans. They are especially attractive at both ends of the career spectrum for young people who can use them as long-term investment vehicles, and for older people, that's not a word I want to use for Tammy, but compared to me, I'm the older person. She's the young, the sprightly young thing compared to me. They are good investments for older people too, and everybody in between, but not if you have high continuing healthcare expenses. If you're a diabetic and you're going to spend $5,000 a year on prescription drugs, you don't want to be in a high deductible or consumer-driven plan, okay? But if you're a person who has a bad health problem that pops up once every 10 years and costs a ton of money, they are excellent health plans to be in. So a lot depends on your pattern of health expenses. But part of what you want to do is just look at different options. In the D.C. area, let me just pick one. I happen to love the Care First high deductible plan. Okay, it's a great deal with or without Medicare. All right, so it serves both as this young person's investment vehicle and as this older person's cover you very well vehicle. There are just an awful lot of good choices that you tailor to your needs.
So we clearly know that we're talking to whoever wants to listen to this show, wherever they might be in the country. So if somebody's listening to this, well, they're talking about D.C. Metro. Well, no, we're talking about the United States and for some, wherever they are in the world. Am I right with that?
Absolutely. And I was going to add, because Walt was mentioning about Kaiser being such a good deal, and I was doing a study yesterday. I was looking at plans and how they coordinate with Medicare, and I didn't realize that out on the West Coast especially, you get a huge Medicare reimbursement on some of the Kaiser plans in California and Washington State, Colorado. Not so much in the D.C. area, but you still get a good deal on Kaiser here. But there's some of those reimbursements, if you're in those Western locations, it'll pay your whole premium for Medicare Part B, even of the IRMA.
Let me go a step further on that. There is something new in the program in the last couple of years, and actually it goes back on the West Coast a little longer. It is for all of you who have Medicare Parts A and B or are thinking of retiring and signing up for Part B, we now have options, plural, in most of the country, in Kaiser and United. I'm going to come back. There's some differences, but basically you can get close to 100% coverage of your costs. And in United plans, it is 100%, okay? And the plan pays all or most of your Part B premium. One of the big defects of the federal employee system and Medicare between them, they never have had a sensible coordination scheme. They've both been around 50 years, and the Congress never said, why are people signing up for two health plans? Why should they need more than one? But people do. About 70% of all annuitants sign up for both, okay? Well, and you're paying two premiums. So you're paying $2,000 or more on the federal employee side and $1,800 next year to Medicare for Medicare Part B. Why are you paying both premiums? And there's been no good answer until now. You can now join any of the United Choice plans. The word choice is in the plan name. They cover most of the country. They're not in every state, but they more than half the states. Or in Kaiser's a little more complex, but even in the DC area, which is lagging a little the West Coast, the Kaiser High option will pay, and these United plans will pay essentially 100% of your Medicare Part B premium. Okay. So all of a sudden you have an option of being in a plan and only paying one premium and simultaneously having Medicare. Now, the way this works is there are plans called Medicare Advantage, and United and Kaiser has special Medicare Advantage plans for federal employees that are better than all the other Medicare Advantage plans out there. And those plans are pretty good, by the way. So we're talking about an excellent combination. The benefits are in effect merged. It's a little bit tricky. You've got to go to the website of Kaiser or United. You've got to then study it a little bit. You've got to call them to enroll. It's a little bit complicated enrollment process, but when all is said and done, you can wind up cutting your total premium costs in half, okay, while getting close to 100% coverage of all healthcare expenses. And indeed, you can get 100% for doctor and hospital and not 100%, but very good coverage for prescription drugs. This is kind of a no-brainer. And people don't even know this option exists, okay?
Yeah,
but it does.
Yeah, I was going to add to the Medicare Advantage idea, because I think a lot of us watch TV right now, and there's also another open season going on for Part C plans, which are privately run Medicare Advantage plans that are not part of FEHB. So what you're talking about are federal employee health benefit plans that incorporate Medicare Advantage as part of the FEHB program. And I agree with you. I think that's a wonderful option for a lot of people. I was hesitant last year because they were still kind of new, and I thought there's got to be a catch. But I think the catch is that the government does help fund these Advantage plans in addition to the premiums that people pay. So that's how they can afford to give you that rebate of the full premium, because they're still getting that stipend from the government for the Advantage participants. But they are really good deals because they combine the silver sneaker benefits or the gym membership and the meal delivery and the home health care benefit of the Advantage plans. But that's along with the FEHB, where you don't have to get referral to see specialists. They're not just regional. Most of them can be used nationwide and provide emergency care overseas. So I think they are something definitely worth looking at for someone who's 65 and retired, where Medicare is their primary coverage. But you have to be enrolled in not A or B. You have to be enrolled in A and Part B of Medicare.
Could I ask kind of a techie question with regards to someone's ability to join the club, so to speak? Let's say that this individual was in the military, never worked for on the civilian side of the civilian side for the federal government. So if they were in the military, say, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, including reserves, would that qualify them to be able to join the club, so to speak?
Not if they're not a civilian federal employee. They would have their military health care while they served, but then they'd be at the mercy of whoever they get employment with. Now, if they come into the federal government and then they retire ultimately, they can use that coverage under TRICARE or the military health plan as part of their 5 years. Because I've seen retirees from the military who will have TRICARE all the way up until the last year or two before they retire. Then they join the civilian federal health plan, and that TRICARE can help them meet the five-year coverage test that Walt had mentioned in the last segment.
Do you find that people that are in that situation are unaware that they would qualify?
For what?
I think the TRICARE, the people who are federal civilian employees now, who are military retirees as well, I think they generally know. There's a special part of TRICARE called TRICARE for Life that kicks in when you get Medicare Parts A and B. And I think most of them, TRICARE for Life actually is slightly better than the FEHB because it has zero premium. You're only paying one premium, the Part B premium. And I think they know they've got that advantage. But even for those people who could just stay in TRICARE the rest of their life, the smart thing is to join the FEHB in the last year before you retire, because you have to be in it the day you retire to carry it for life, and have that FEHBP suspended, no cost to you, for the rest of your life. But that protects you in case the Congress ever does something bad to TRICARE. So, you know, we're into the weeds a little bit here, but, you know, a lot of people may not know that nuance about being in the FEHBP the day you retire. But if you just sort of basically remember the five-year rule, I think the military people, military retirees who work as a Fed, civilian Fed, are pretty savvy.
Okay. So let's take a look then. We talked about the beginning career person. The mid-career person may marry, may not marry, maybe got divorced, but they're mid-career, they're going to be a career federal employee. Are there certain plans that they should look at? Maybe there's two different viewpoints. Somebody that is single without any kids or children and or married with children.
Yeah, your guide, Walt, I know it does, in that first part of the questionnaire, will ask you, are you signing up for yourself? And you have all the different categories of employment coverage and self plus one or self and family. I think does it also cover temporary coverage for people who are maybe a former spouse and need the coverage? Bob was saying if you want to.
We cover those and tell you which is the best plan. And it's not the same best plan. The former spouses who in most cases have to pay the full premium. There's no government share for a former spouse. Okay. So the premium really drives it. And you want to join the plan with the very lowest premium. But the former spouses benefit when they get to be Medicare age. They could sign up. We're going into a lot of details, but Medicare Advantage plans are a really good deal for them while suspending their FEHB coverage, because now they're only paying the Medicare premium and the government pays most of the Medicare premium. So there's ways you have to think about the category of employee or other situation you're in. How it all plays out is very different for the two categories we've just talked about, sort of divorcees and all other, okay, people with Medicare Parts A and B and all other, and a lot depending on age. There's an awful lot of plans that are good through the age spectrum. And one of the things most people should do, because they don't know even that they exist, is take a look at the newer Blue Cross and GEHA plans that have sprung up in the last couple of years. There's a new Blue Cross plan called FEP. So the only part of it I can remember is the FEP.
Are you talking about the Focus plan or?
Yeah, FEP Blue Focus.
Yep.
Okay. Which is by far the lowest premium Blue Cross plan. And for many people, a better buy than the more expensive ones. And the two new GEHA plans, also, and all these are all nationally available, GEHA Elevate and Elevate Plus, both of which are in most situations a little better buy than GEHA Standard Option and a lot better buy than GEHA High Option. just as Blue Cross FEP Blue Choice and Blue Standard are better buys than Blue High option. Excuse me, Blue Basic better buy than Blue Cross Standard option.
That's easy for you to say.
High and standard don't mean what they used to mean.
No, they don't.
All righty. We had a break earlier from the good folks from WEPA who sponsored the show, and then we'll talk now, take another break about NITP and what they can and do for the listeners.
Who do you trust when making your most important decisions? National Institute of Transition Planning has been the trusted source for federal retirement planning, serving new, mid-career, and pre-retirement federal employees for more than 30 years. NITP's subject matter experts bring more than 800 years of collective expertise on federal benefits, financial transition, and estate planning. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com to sign up for their free monthly newsletter and information about free webinars.
Does planning for retirement seem like a daunting task? Is retirement years away? It will arrive sooner than you think. Prepare now to stay on track. Join the thousands of federal employees and retirees who have already attended National Institute of Transition Planning's free monthly webinars to learn more about retirement and financial planning. NITP is the national leader and trusted source for federal retirement information. Visit NITPinc.com to sign up for NITP's free monthly newsletter and webinar.
Welcome back to the final leg of today's show, and we're talking about the Checkbook Guide to Federal Healthcare Plans with Walt Francis. He is the author. And how many years have you been doing this, Walt?
I can't count that high, but it's about 42 or 3.
Okay, so Walt started when he was 15. And Tammy Flanagan and I have been working together 30 years?
Since I was 15.
Anyway, so what I'm getting at is there's a storehouse of knowledge. I just sit here and take notes and listen to all the different opportunities that discuss. So the listeners today certainly pass this along to their friends. But let's get back to the last 16 minutes of the show. So where do we leave off, or what do we want to cover with the remaining 16 minutes?
I think there was a question that came in, Bob, about someone who was trying to look out for their coworker who was saying when they retire, they're going to drop their federal health plan for whatever reason. And I would highly encourage, I know Walt would agree with this wholeheartedly, please don't drop your federal health plan. There are some occasions if you're over 65 or if you have TRICARE where you can suspend it. And Walt had mentioned that in the last segment. And that's certainly an option for someone who's looking maybe to save some money and use TRICARE for life or to use a private Medicare Advantage plan. But we have, like we were talking about, so many good choices within the FEHB where the government's paying the lion's share of the premium. And they may give you extra benefits that those private plans may not have. So wouldn't you agree, Walt, that you would never recommend someone
totally,
to drop out?
I totally
out?
Agree. You should. You can suspend FEHBP if you're making a savvy decision, but never drop it. And let me add, Tammy sent me a copy of that email from that discussing that case. First place, the guy says he has a wife and several kids. Well, and he's going to sign up for Medicare and drop FEHB. Hey, Medicare will cover him. It will not cover his wife, and it will not cover his kids. Okay, so he might have to, paying two Medicare premiums, one for him himself and one for his wife, will cost a lot more than any of the inexpensive FEHB plan premiums for a family that cover then in effect his children for free. It's a no-brainer. Don't sign up for Part B. Keep the FEHB. It's not a close question. And beyond that, he says he's in a plan whose premiums are $6,000 a year. Well, I don't know which of the many unrealistically expensive plans, unbelievably expensive plans he's in. There are a few up in that stratospheric cost, but the FEHBP is full of plans that cost in premium about $3,000 to $4,000 a year for a family, so as your share of the premium. So for heaven's sake, stay in the FEHB, maybe postpone retirement a year or two if you're really that financially pressed. But the immediate thing to do is this open season, sign up in a less expensive FEHB plan.
Give it a try. Yeah, I was going to say too, Walt, and I think you're going to agree with this, is that just because a plan is expensive does not translate to it being a better plan than one that is not as expensive, because sometimes the price of that plan is reflecting who's in the plan, the experience of that plan's payment of prescriptions and inpatient expenses. And we still have about 25%, last I heard, of retirees who are Medicare eligible but don't take Part B. And that also can drive up the cost of that plan, because now that plan is paying all those hospitalizations and all those prescriptions that some of the older retirees might need. So can you comment on like why there's such a large percentage of retirees who don't take Part B of Medicare?
Well, you just explained it very well. There are risks. Every federal plan every insurance plan has to cover the cost of the people who are in its pool of covered people who signed up for it. And who signs up is often a function of what's sometimes called adverse selection. Okay. So the older and sicker people, and by the way, cost is hugely related to age. The average cost of a 30-something is only one-third the average cost of a 60-something. Okay. So a plan that attracts a disproportionate number of 60, 70, and 80-year-olds, or just people who are younger but unhealthy and expensive, is going to have to have a higher premium. And if those people flock to that plan, that drives the premium even higher. Meanwhile, some of the younger and healthier ones bail out, okay, and join the better buy plans. So the trick for people in the FHEP who are older and sicker is get out of that high-cost spread and join one of the plans where all the younger ones congregate, okay? And that's a sort of a general rule. Obviously, all this is very plan specific. Kaiser has this problem because there's so many Kaiser lifers who love the plan, which has such great benefits and such great cost control. Okay, but it gets swamped with higher cost, and the benefits of being a Kaiser don't always show up as clearly as they should. That said, there are so many good choices now that. There's no one who should be paying that $6,000 or $7,000 or $8,000 or even $10,000 a year premium that's a few of these plans have. They're inhabited only by a relatively few older people without Medicare. So those are the plans you don't want to be in. You really need to make sure people who signed up for one of those plans 20 years ago and it goes up 10% a year, well, after 7 years, 10% a year doubles the cost. It could double again 7 years later. A lot of people are sitting in expensive plans, like that email you got, Tammy, who don't even realize how inexpensive other choices can be.
Right. And I think, like you said, it's that deception of, you know, just because it's more expensive does not make it that much more better. So I think we have to get over that when it comes to pricing out or comparing health plans. We really need to look at what our needs are and what our families' needs are. Like you said, there can be an age difference with young children in the plan, maybe a parent who might be in their 50s or even 60s, and then you have another parent who might be a little younger. So you have to kind of play to that least common denominator. I was wondering, and I don't know if you even know this, well, like what if I'm in a plan like Kaiser, one of the HMOs, and I've got a child who's gone away to college, which I don't know if kids go to college anymore during the pandemic, but if they're going away out of state to college to a place where that plan doesn't operate, would that be a time when someone would need to change plans to accommodate that child?
They might. It really depends on the plan. Kaiser will pay the cost, in particular, will pay the cost for a kid who is away at college, but some don't, okay? But here's a general point. Every plan will cover you anywhere in the nation, and in almost every case, anywhere in the world, that you have an accident and something unexpected happens and you got a zillion-dollar healthcare expense, they will cover you for emergency costs. So in general, you don't need to worry about that. The college kid problem is not the emergency that hits the kid who's normally at home. It's the cost of the kid who has some, you know, expensive condition like diabetes and has to take insulin every day. That child, you will need to do a little homework. Again, open season is all about that. The year your oldest child is going to hit college age is the year you better be checking out the plan you're in, comparing it to a few others to make sure you've got good coverage. Now, I'm only thinking of next year because this year those kids are all staying home and, and underfoot, and it's a terrible situation. But you want to kick them out of the house next year. So this is a very important open season. Now that we have COVID vaccines, okay, we're going to whip the COVID, but get those kids back in school, both college kids and younger ones. But this clearly may affect your plan choice for that you make this open season.
Okay, so I have, I won't think it's a goofy question, but somebody retires, and they're in an occupation that has a high demand on the private sector side, and they leave the federal government, and they go full-time working for this company. Could they suspend or stop the federal health care and then pick it back up within a, is there a period of time, like 5 years, that they have to do it, or is it just really stupid to do that?
They can't drop it for 5 minutes. Okay.
I thought you would say that.
From federal civilian service and drop their FEHB plan, thinking they'll pick it up again in a year or two. Sorry. The rules don't allow for that. If you drop it for 1 minute, it's gone forever.
That's
so important. One of the reasons it's so important to keep it. It is a lifetime guarantee. And with these strategies that Tammy and I have been talking about, like signing up for a high deductible plan or suspending FEHB and joining a Medicare Advantage plan or staying in a plan that has a special Medicare Advantage plan that's part of the federal employee plan, whichever of those options you choose, you really need to think it is a lifetime enrollment you're going to be in.
Okay, Mike Causey years ago talked about a friend at a fitness center, and he had government health insurance, and he was extremely popular with the other sex that didn't have it. So potentially there would be a marriage. I hate to think somebody gets married for health care, but I'm sure this has happened before. But I believe, Mike, that he wasn't making it up. But
I know some of my, well, not so much anymore this age, but when I was younger, some of my single girlfriends, when they would go out to meet people, they would be sure not to tell anybody that they worked for the federal government because they didn't want those benefits of government employment to be the reason why they got asked out for a second date. So they'd always keep that a secret till the second or third date to make sure that they were compatible on other areas besides benefits.
Okay, one more question along that line. Let's say we have perfectly fine marriage, but it dissolves, say, 10 years after retirement. Can the one spouse that isn't covered under that, can they get coverage?
There are spouse equity provisions that as long as that soon-to-be former spouse is awarded either part of that retirement benefit or a survivor benefit, then they can go under spouse equity provisions, and they have to pay the full freight. So they have to break off into their own federal health plan. And I think there also an administrative fee, Walt, that they have to pay?
Yeah, it's small, so it's not a big factor. The main thing is you need to think through your situation. But look, there's a very common situation. It is very important that you cover your spouse in this program, because if forget for the moment retirement or divorce, just, hey, you're 45 years old, you got a happy family, and you have a heart attack and die, your spouse, if you're in a self-only enrollment, your spouse has just lost his or her enrollment, okay, because, you know, maybe they were covered by an employer plan. They still got the employer plan, but they've lost the FEHB forever. This particularly, you know, where this plays out in a big way is after you retire, you need to be in a self plus one or family coverage to cover your spouse, because if you have that heart attack at age 70 and they're not covered, and by the way, they also have to have a partial annuity to cover. I mean, so there are some things you want to consult your health HR people about, okay, to make sure you haven't forgotten something, or maybe you didn't forget it, you just never knew it.
Never knew.
Okay, there are a few tricky things, a few gotchas in this program, but the basic idea is if you cover yourself and your family, you're good for life, and so is your spouse, and your kids up to age 26.
Okay, with the last couple minutes, let's split it. Each one of you take a minute. We talked an awful lot, but what would you like anybody that was listening to carry forward to what they heard? You both work with people, and they go, I didn't know I could do that.
Well, I'll start because I want to mention the checkbook guide again, because I think everyone should look at this from some of the specifics that are in there. Because I'm just looking at the screen I have up with the plan comparison, and you can compare just inpatient hospital care. Like, do you pay nothing or do you pay 25% co-insurance? Or if you're looking to get pregnant, some of these will cover infertility treatment, some don't. So if that's something that you need for your future family planning, that's something you can look at on the checkbook guide. I'd love to know, Walt, how you figure this stuff out, because I spent all day yesterday just looking at Medicare friendly plans, and my eyes were getting crossed. So you must just go nuts this time of year.
Yeah, I have a confession to make. I went nuts starting 42 years ago. We actually review, I won't say we read cover to cover, but we know where to check. We do review in detail the brochure for every one of the 280 plans in this program, okay, to make sure we correctly describe all the important benefits. He says all the important benefits. We don't cover left toenailitis, okay, in detail, but we'll tell you how to find it and deal with it. I guess my most important advice is you've just got to stop and spend, I don't care whether it's 15 minutes or half an hour, thinking about your health situation, your family's health situation. Look at the brochure for the plan you're in. Check out section 2. It's only one page long. How is the plan changing this year? Check if your doctor's in the plan. Use our website, but in addition, call the doctor's office to double check.
Andrew says we're going to get cut off in 15 seconds. So, Tammy, final thought?
Yeah, just listen to what you're hearing today and act on it. You know, just don't listen, but take action.
Okay. Thank you both. Andrew's going to cut us off, and we'll be back next week with different guests. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP and sponsored by WEPA. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. This show can also be heard on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search For Your Benefit. Thanks for listening.